Wisconsin lost nearly 10,000 manufacturing jobs last year, so what exactly was behind that decline? It's Monday, May 4th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Senator Tammy Baldwin is sounding the alarm over budget cuts that she says would make it harder to fight wildfires. And hear about the birds that are traveling through Wisconsin right now and what you can do to help them on their journeys. Stay with us.
The largest source of funding for the WPR programs you enjoy comes from tens of thousands of individuals and families who contribute. You can hear your favorite program and discover new ones thanks to member support. Find out more at WPR.org.
Wisconsin lost thousands of manufacturing jobs in 2025. As Joe Schultz reports, the decline was driven in part by older workers leaving the industry and hesitancy to hire in an uncertain economy.
The state's manufacturing workforce shrank by about 9,500 jobs between January 2025 and January 2026. That's according to data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Industry leaders say the decline was caused by retirements more than widespread layoffs. Buckley Brinkman is the former director of a Wisconsin manufacturing nonprofit. He says shifting tariffs and broader economic uncertainty made companies more reluctant to hire.
I mean, it's really like trying to run your company with one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake.
Preliminary data shows the state's manufacturing workforce rebounded slightly in March, up about 1,800 jobs from February. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The head of the U.S. Forest Service briefed lawmakers last week on President Donald Trump's proposed $2.1 billion budget for the agency. Trump proposed a 75% funding cut as he seeks to shift some operations to a new agency for fighting wildfires on federal lands. The cuts would eliminate funding for the agency's research and state, private, and tribal forestry grants. Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin says the reduction means the agency would not fund grants to states or volunteers fighting wildfires.
These rural volunteer and career firefighters are already stretched pretty thin, and this budget asks them to continue to risk their lives fighting fires on federal land with no resources to back them up.
Forest Service Chief Tom Schultz said it would fall to states to provide that aid. An outreach specialist with the Intertribal Agency said the cuts would also undermine the government's treaty obligations to Wisconsin tribes. Federal agents interviewed longtime liberal activist Kirk Bangstad last week over a social media post he made about the latest attempt to assassinate President Donald Trump. As Rich Kramer reports, Bangstad's post suggested people needed to either work on their marksmanship or that the assassination was faked.
Bangstad live-streamed the moment two agents with the U.S. Secret Service and FBI entered his Minocqua Brewery location wearing black suits on Thursday. They asked if he or anyone he knows wants to kill, kidnap, or inflict bodily harm on the president. Bangstad told them he does not. After the agents left, Bangstad turned the camera on himself and said the agents probably are not bad guys. He then told Trump's supporters who demanded the investigation that they likely forced the agents to question him.
So you got what you wanted. However, First Amendment still rules, and we're never going to stop talking. I'm never going to stop talking.
A joint statement from the Secret Service and FBI confirmed their agents visited Bangstad for a voluntary interview and called it an ongoing matter. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Shortly after meeting with those federal agents, Bangstad announced that he is launching a campaign for governor of Wisconsin, but the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports that by Saturday, he had not filed the proper paperwork yet to do so. Protesters across Wisconsin marched, chanted, and held signs at events on Friday for May Day. The events were connected to a Day Without Immigrants protests meant to bring attention to the role that immigrants play in U.S. workplaces. WPR reporters at the protests in Madison and Milwaukee asked attendees why they chose to show up.
Yeah, I'm here for, you know, for all the people that cannot be here today because they're afraid. For 14 years, I couldn't go back home to see my family, but I was still paying my taxes. And now I'm here for all the people that are in the same situation.
A lot of the problems I've noticed in this country, a lot of the hate, and it's all happening to our neighbors. And to me, that's just not right.
My students need to feel safe in the schools and not be worried about people coming and taking them away, taking their families away.
That was Fernanda Laporese of Madison, Andrew Schneider of Milwaukee, and Lisa Underhill of Madison on why they joined those May Day protests. Coming up, how you can help the birds that are traveling through the Midwest right now. Stay with us.
My name is Martin Anderson. I'm the owner with my husband.
Edgar Anderson, co-owner of Fergorn Isle.
On Washington Island.
Ever since we've been using WPR, it's proven to be the right choice, especially when we asked our customers, how did you hear about us? Always has been, we heard that on the radio, and that's why we continue to use WPR as a sponsorship program.
Connect with Wisconsin and grow your business. Visit WPR.org/sponsor.
And finally, this spring, you might spot some of the hundreds of migratory birds passing through your backyard or neighborhood. But the birds are also facing threats from pesticides, habitat loss, window strikes, house cats, and light pollution, among others. Wisconsin Today host Rob Ferret recently spoke with wildlife biologist Ryan Brady from the State Department of Natural Resources about the birds that are traveling through Wisconsin right now, and what you can do to help them on their journeys.
All right, set the stage in the skies for us. We know this is migration time. How active is this time of year for our migratory birds coming back or through Wisconsin?
This is about prime time. If you're a bird watcher, you've been waiting all year for this, and we're just about at peak. So right around the end of April and the early to middle part of May is when we have the highest volume of migratory birds moving through the state. And you couple that with many of the resident species, as well as some of the birds that have, are going to stay and nest here as well. And you have literally hundreds of millions of birds passing through the state of Wisconsin of all different types. So it's really an exciting time. Yet at the same time, it's a fairly tenuous time, a dangerous time for many of these birds as they make these difficult journeys.
What are some of the unusual or rare migratory birds that, hey, if you're going to see them in Wisconsin, this is about the only time you can see them?
Well, not necessarily rare, but you're always trying to catch a glimpse of the ones that are uncommon yet maybe predictable. A good example would be some of these large shorebirds, a particularly showy one called American avocet. They mostly breed in the plains, and as they migrate between the Gulf Coast and the plains, just a few flocks will stop by Wisconsin, and it's always right around the end of April to the very first few days of May. And you just hope to be there that day when you might be able to see them, especially along the Lake Michigan shoreline. And lo and behold, we had that happen recently, and it could happen again.
You mentioned perils facing migratory birds. What kind of things have you worried?
Well, first and foremost is habitat. We need to create more habitat for migratory birds. And that doesn't just mean in parks and refuges and public lands. It means in our own backyards. And we can really make an impact in our backyard. So that's important. But in addition, collisions are a very large problem for birds during the migration season. Collisions with buildings, especially windows. And again, that can be tall buildings in an urban landscape, but it can also be the windows in our own backyards. We've all probably heard that thud and had that sinking feeling when a bird hit our window. And we need to take steps to protect those windows to make them less reflective and keep birds from dying, because upwards of several billion birds die each year from hitting windows. It is really a major problem. And we can help that too by turning lights off at night. So many of these birds migrate at night, and if we have lights on, it can confuse them, it can attract them. And then when you couple that with the hazards there, like buildings, like windows, or other structures like communication towers, then we have problems and we kill many birds that already have many other challenges that they face during migration.
Let's look at some of those things we can do at home. And you mentioned those building collisions. For the daytime, you mentioned the reflectivity of windows being an issue. What's happening there and what can we do? What are some of the practical steps we can take to make that less of a hazard for those birds?
In most cases, birds are seeing reflectivity of habitat that they came from, you know, trees reflecting in the window. In some cases, it's a see-through problem where there's a window on the other side and it looks like they can fly through. And they don't see glass, so therefore they collide with it. We need to remove that hazard by really two main ways. One are small stickers or adhesives, like dots that you would put on the window. And the key with those is that you have to space them just a few inches apart. The other way is something called like Zen wind curtains or Ecopian bird savers. And what these are is essentially like paracord that you hang down from the top of the window. And then again, spaced only a few inches apart, it keeps birds from flying into those windows.
You can find the full interview at WPR.org/Wisconsin Today. And of course, we'll end the show with a quick check of your forecast. Much warmer today than the past few days, with highs in the 60s and 70s. However, it's going to be pretty windy throughout the day, and we could see some storms in southern Wisconsin later on. Southeastern Wisconsin likely to see some rain overnight, otherwise partly cloudy with lows in the 30s and 40s. Much colder tomorrow with highs only getting into the 50s. And that'll do it for this Monday. Thank you so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Hope Kerwin. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.